But we're talking about the greatest gift that keeps giving. You know, it's always nice to receive a gift at Christmas time or birthday time or any time, really. That it's usefulness. It's delight. It's enjoyment continues. There's not a whole lot of gifts that do that unless you get a brand new car and that's only going to go for so long, right? Or whatever. We've all had those gifts that you say, well, you know, this is great for today, but you put it aside and maybe you don't use it. And we've had those other gifts too that were given. Maybe by your spouse, your wife, your husband. Maybe by one of your children. And you know you've kept that over the years. It's been so much to you because of the one that gave the gift to you. That's really the value of the gift, you know. But you know, we talk about the greatest gift of all. It's not only the great value of the giver, but also the great value of the gift. And that gift is Jesus Christ. I find it interesting, as you look at it through the Bible, you study the Word of God, and you see that indeed, God the Father giving His Son, John 3:16, for God so loved you, He loved me, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in you or me will not perish but have everlasting life. And so sometimes we just think that, well, there's a period there, and that's the period of the Gospel. But you know what it really is? That's just the start of the Gospel. It really is. For once you receive the greatest gift that God could ever give, and He did give to you, to your family members, to your next door neighbor, to my family members, my next door neighbor, that gift, His Son, just keeps giving. Grace upon grace, John tells us. Grace and truth for Jesus Christ. And what John is saying is that the living Son of God who was incarnate in human flesh, born there in Bethlehem, lived a sinless and perfect life. He did all sorts of miracles as signs of His deity, that indeed He is God. He is the very Son of God. He is the promised Messiah. He is Emmanuel with us. And John says, you know, there's so much more that could be written at the conclusion of His Gospel. So much more that could be written about Jesus and His works. In fact, He says, were they all written, the whole world would not be able to hold His books. Paul says it in a different way. Thanks be unto God for His inexpressible gift, His indescribable gift, the greatness of Jesus Christ. Have you experienced that awe? Have you? Of how awesome He is? He is that gift that meets all of our needs, both now and for all of eternity. And like Peter says, in Him we have everything we need right now for life and for godliness. As Jesus, that greatest gift in all the world, just keeps giving and giving and giving. A couple of weeks we looked at the gift of forgiveness, because He does give the gift in Himself. He is that gift. And He is that basis of forgiveness. Not only forgiveness between you and me and with regard to God, a holy, righteous God who's going to judge sin there in His Son, Jesus Christ, your sin, my sin. Not His. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that you and I might become the righteous of God in Him. That's God's Word. But you know, there's so much more too. That Christ wants to be and to give each and every one of us. So I pray you don't think that the Gospel is just John 3:16, period. But there's so much more. One of Paul's favorite phrases in the book of Romans is, much more, much more. That's what we're looking at in this Advent season. Just some of the much more of Jesus. Now, we had a great exposition of God's Word from Andy last week. What was the theme? What was the topic? Come on. What was it? Oh, you can do better than that. My word, you sang louder than that. What was the topic? Shalom, or peace, yes. Well, you're going to hear about peace again. It wasn't because I thought, well, you know, we need to add on. No, we don't. That was sufficient. in defining Andy's ministry and Judy's ministry with Navigators, and how far extensive God's peace is. But I want to take a look at the peace that Christ gives for you and for me, and that gift that you and I should exercise, experience, and delight in. And I mean really delight in every day of our lives. Would you join with me in prayer? Father God, we pray now, as we get into your word, Father, we pray that your living, powerful word will continue to have its work in our lives, in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds, in every step that we take, Father, that your word would be our guide and director as your Holy Spirit instructs and guides us through it. And Lord, Father, as we seek to learn more and know your Son, Jesus Christ, more fully, that we can enjoy him more fully and make you, Lord Jesus, more fully known to others, our loved ones, our friends, and other people. Lord, may your word work in our lives, individually and collectively as a church, for your glory. So open our spiritual ears, Father, we pray. Open our spiritual eyes. And use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take out your outline in your bulletin this morning. That great presentation of shalom and peace in a community way was a great biblical basis for us to understand how Andy and Judy are being blessed of the Lord. Because God wants to give his peace. Because ultimately and completely his peace is personified in his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus will change a life and transform a life and change and transform a church. We've seen it, and you probably have seen it too, as well as the community. So as you take out your outline before you, God's greatest gift that keeps on giving, the gift of peace, seeing the gift of peace relationally now, not just in if you will, in the community of prosperity and welfare, but in a relational way. A peace that is only possible through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's essential. That's foundational. You and I can never experience the true peace that God wants to give us without knowing his Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. And we'll see that clearly from God's Word. That God gifted peace, which the world knows nothing about. In fact, Jesus tells us, I gave you peace, and the world doesn't know anything about that peace. But you do because you know Jesus. We do because we know Jesus. That God gives a peace which the world knows nothing about and cannot counterfeit. They can't counterfeit. They can't make it up. Because the world's peace comes and goes. The world's peace is predicated upon circumstances, outer circumstances, contentment outside of things. That peace that we're talking about this morning, which surpasses all human understanding, can and will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, because God says it will. It will guard your mind. It will guard your heart in Christ Jesus. God promises that. That peace presented in the Old Testament, it's presented there, it's prophesied by the prophets, it's proclaimed in Christ's birth, it was purchased at the cross and is provided by the risen Savior to all who believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. For he is that peace. Take a look. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 9, 16. A great Christmas passage, but right in the heart of this too. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He is, all the time. He knows our needs. He knows our problems. He knows the solution, and that solution is him. And part of that solution of him in our lives, in meeting whatever situation you have, he brings that peace, his peace, that passes all understanding. Mighty God, he is mighty, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, the one who is that great peace. Of the increase of his covenant of peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. One day, Emmanuel, who is with us right now, will be coming in person, in glory, in majesty, and setting up his kingdom here on earth. And just as much as the Prince of Peace is reigning and ruling in your life and in the body of Christ's church, the Prince of Peace will reign and rule here on earth. And then the world will understand what that peace is all about. Because he's here. And it's him. Emmanuel. Let's go on. In John 14, verse 27, you have great passages in John about peace. Take a look at this. Peace I leave with you. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples then and speaking to you and I as disciples of Jesus Christ right now. Peace I live with you, leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. The world doesn't know anything about this kind of peace. They really don't. And we'll see why momentarily. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Then again in John 16, I have said these things to you that in me you may have what? Peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Yes, we will, until the Prince of Peace reigns and rules here on this world. But let me ask you this. Have you submitted and yielded to his rule in your life? If you have, he will make all the difference in the world. He will address the turmoil. He will address the strife. He will address the unrest, the difficulties, the tribulations of life. Jesus Christ is our peace. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself, he's speaking of Christ, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. First and foremost, that peace is presented to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He is our propitiation. Boy, that's a word, isn't it? Propitiation. We don't use that all the time. Propitiation. It means to pay, to satisfy a debt. The satisfaction of the debt of God's law and judgment against us. So Jesus Christ is our peace because he paid that debt. He propitiated that debt that was against us, against you, against me, from a holy God who judges sin. And therefore, removing the barrier between the sinner and a holy God, the righteous payment through Christ's life and sacrifice. He lived a sinless, perfect life. Think of that. Not a sinful thought. Not a sinful inclination. Yet he was tempted in all ways like you and I were, God's word says. Yet without what? Without sin. Living a perfect, holy, righteous life. So that when you and I, who are so unrighteous, so unholy, so at odds with God, when you and I, in all of our sin, recognize that Jesus Christ paid the price for all of that in my life, all of that in your life, he was a perfect, spotless, holy Lamb of God. Only he could bring the peace of God into our lives. And he did that. He did that. Through that propitiated work again. Let's go on. And in his love, not that we love God, and this is love, not that we love God, John writes, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be what? The propitiation of our sins. He paid it all. Something that would take all of eternity for you and I to even begin to think of paying the debt of sin. And even then, we could never pay it. But he did. He alone is our peace offering. You know, there are many offerings in the Old Testament. Don't you love them? Where's your lamb? Ah, my lamb is Jesus. Amen. Your lamb is Jesus too. But there are many other offerings too. And some by sacrifice, some with grain offerings and various other things. But one of the offerings there was a peace offering. And you know what that was? It was recognizing that through the sacrificial offerings for sin
and propitiation by faith in God, what God has said he will do, that he will forgive his people through that sacrifice offering in the Old Testament, they can now enjoy fellowship with him in their worship, in their daily lives. And so he said, now I'm going to give you another offering. This is an offering that is a sweet savor to me. A sweet savor. It's a peace offering. It's a peace offering that has a fragrance before me of our fellowship, of our relationship. That's what the peace offering is all about. Jesus Christ is our peace offering. God the Father, he says, that's the fragrance of my Son. You and I, forgiven and cleansed through the blood of the Lamb, every day we have a peace offering. Jesus Christ. And every day, his fragrance is in your life. Other people sense his presence because you're in fellowship. You're in fellowship with God the Father. Jesus Christ is not only a propitiation for our sins, but he's that peace offering of our fellowship. Paul says something similar to that. He says, we are a fragrance of Christ. Amen. Are you checking? Are you checking to make sure you have that fragrance as strong as you can have? What do I mean by that? Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you? Are you spending time in His Word? I don't mean just a chapter of 8 keep the devil away. I don't mean that. I mean getting into His Word and letting His Word get into your soul, your heart, your mind. For Christ is that living Word. Christ is that peace offering. He's not only the propitiation for our sins, but the peace offering of our fellowship. But we see also he gives peace that is real and lasting. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I've said to these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He gives a real and lasting peace. Excuse me. Jesus Christ. Gift of peace is to be experienced in three dimensions. Three relational dimensions. Now Andy was talking about the shalom, the peace of God in the area of community and bringing welfare and prosperity as God intended to bless people who recognize God as a creator, who recognize God who sent his Son Jesus Christ as Savior. And there is that peace of God within the community, if you will, whether the village or what have you. But there's also that peace that is far more inner, if you will, in three relational dimensions. Take a look at your outline. The first dimension, Jesus Christ provides peace with God. Our sin caused separation and enmity. Enmity, that's an interesting word. What does that mean? Well, God was not our advocate, but our adversary. We were an adversary with him. We were at war with him. Peace needed to come into your life and my life when we were at enmity with God. Sin did that. Sin caused separation and enmity between God and ourselves. The Bible speaks of that. That enmity started there in Genesis chapter 3 when sin entered into the lives of Adam and Eve. And as it entered into the lives of Adam and Eve, it passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation to you and I. And that sin brings separation, brings enmity, adversity. In his love, and this is love, not that we have, I'm sorry, our sin, excuse me, our sin debt had to be paid and the hostility brought to an end for us to be saved. In the Bible, you probably have read in the Old Testament, that concept of blood debt. Remember that? That when someone was murdered, there was a blood debt. That life, that blood that was shed, was a debt to be paid. And the only way that it could be paid in the Old Testament days, of course, you had a kinsman redeemer. And he would take care of that blood debt. If you went ahead and killed one of his kinsmen, then you would be killed. It was a life for a life. That was a blood debt. But you know there's a greater debt that the Bible talks about. Far more severe. Far more life damning than just a mere blood debt. It's a sin debt. It's a sin debt between you and I and God. And Jesus Christ took care of that sin debt. So it happened, if you will, listen. Excuse me. Our sin debt had to be paid and hostility brought to an end for us to be saved. As sinners, we could never pay the debt or bridge the separation and make the peace. Only Jesus Christ could pay that debt and bring us to God who is holy and just. A couple of verses that support that work and the finished work of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and being made alive in the spirit. Again, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And then again in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many other verses, too, that exemplify that and that exhort that truth because it's so important. Let me ask you this. Personally, are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with God? If you're not, I happen to believe you don't. If you are, I also believe that you know that. But this morning the question is, as we're talking about the greatest gift that keeps giving, Jesus Christ, who is our peace, the first dimension of that relational peace is between you and Holy God. Are you at peace with God? You can celebrate all the Christmas you want. You can have a manger in your house. You can have a tree. And you can be generous in giving gifts. But that will never sell. That will never satisfy that need that your soul, your heart, and your love has to be at peace with God. You can be. Because Jesus Christ will be that peace for you between a holy and righteous God and yourself. Jesus produces peace within. The second dimension of the relational peace. Our sinful flesh, Satan, and this world will bring worry, fear, hatred, and anxiety within us. It will. That's his goal. That's his goal, Satan's. To bring upheaval in the life of the Christian home, the Christian marriage, and the church, the body of Christ. That's his goal, to bring upheaval, to bring discord, to bring division, to destroy the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, he brings peace, not only with God, between the sinner, who's repentant and believing in Jesus Christ alone, but he also brings peace with him, within the heart, within the soul, within your very life. Without Christ and his peace, we are wretched, we are helpless, defeated, and miserable. That's how the Bible describes us, without having that peace with him. But it begins with, first of all, peace with God. And that peace with God through Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God, the propitiation for our sins, who
Lord, who is that peace offering that we can be in fellowship with God? That comes first. Then peace within.
Take a look at some of the, with Christ and His peace, we are made whole again, healthy and spiritually mature. I don't mind that, spiritually mature. I think one of the clear indications of people who are Christians but they're not spiritually mature is that they lack peace. They lack the peace of Christ within. They don't experience where the peace of Christ is guarding their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, so they can't grow in grace and knowledge of Him. They're so worried. They're so unrestful. They're so tormented. They're so restless. Never finding that peace, satisfaction, and contentment in Jesus Christ alone. So therefore, it's everybody else's fault. No, it's not. If you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, you can have every day of your life, we can have every day of our lives, His peace within. Take a look at some of the verses. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Paul's writing to Christians. Why does he have to say that? Because it's obvious that sometimes in our Christian life, in our Christian world, we lack that peace to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we live a life in that season of unrest and turmoil and doubt and all sorts of things that happen within our lives. Which indeed you are called in one body and be thankful. And again, Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then again, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation that I am to be content. The contentment is a product of that peace. Contentment in life, contentment with things, contentment where you are. I have learned that whatever situation I am to be content, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. At peace within. But you know there's a third dimension of that relational peace. Yes, the first one is the peace with God. That's where it begins. The second dimension of that relational peace is peace within. Knowing that the peace of Christ is reigning and ruling in your life. The third dimension of that relational peace is peace with others. Division and discord promote hatred, anger, bitterness, and poor physical health. Yes, it does. Peace is not found. That peace with others, the peace within, is not found in a pill or a bottle. Or throwing in the towel and just bailing out. Because whatever's going on in your heart, your soul is going to fall in the rest of your life. Unless you have that, first of all, peace with God. Peace of Christ within. Then you and I can have peace. Broken relationships corrupt our worship. They do. They corrupt our worship. When we lack that peace with others, it silences our prayers. Our prayers may go up to just the ceiling, but that's as far as they grow. They silence our prayers. God does not hear them, and God will not answer them. And they hinder our growth. Worship becomes joyless, spiritless, and lifeless. Prayers become unheard, unanswered, and they become rote. Spiritual growth becomes stagnant, empty, and regressive. But the positive thing, if you know that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and you have the peace of Christ reigning and ruling in your heart, then you have that basis, that foundation, that grace to have peace with others in whatever relationship. Take a look if you will. With Christ and His peace, relationships are healed, they are made stronger, and grace reigns. Blessed are the peacemakers, Christ taught. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He's talking about peace. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace, for mutual upbuilding, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all. I ask you, are you at peace with God? Next question. Do you have God's peace with them? That peace within is so important for our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We can easily be distracted. We can easily become upset over small things that make them big things. Are you at peace with others? You see, Jesus Christ, that greatest gift in all the world, keeps on giving his life, his grace, his virtues, his discipline, his truth, his work in your life, in my life, in the life of the church. You often say, Christ is the reason for the season. Yes, he is. But let me ask you, is he the reason for the seasons in your life? Are they seasons of peace? Are they? If they're not, they can be. You see, that's the wonderful thing also about Christmas. God is the one who gives. Amen? And he wants you and I to be the one who receives. With thanksgiving, sure. With grateful hearts, sure. But also willingness. Yes, Lord. Lord, I want all of you. I want all of you with all that you want to give me of yourself, of your life, your virtues, your grace, your truth, your work. I want all of you in my life, in my marriage, in my home, my family, in my church family. Lord Jesus, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified in every way so that I know and others know. Lord Jesus, you are my peace. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, thank you for all that you have given in the very person of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have that holy, righteous relationship with you through Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are, all that you have done and are doing right now in your church, here at South Mount Bible Church, in our lives. Let your peace, your presence, your power reign in our lives. And that work of peace and that ministry of reconciliation would be so manifest in our lives and others. Both within the church, Lord Jesus, and those outside the church. Oh Lord, for your glory, and for your exaltation, may this Christmas be a Christ-filled Christmas. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.